Okay, this is the interview that we're doing on Thursday evening, and it's we're in Brentwood, and this is Mary Campic, and I'm with Flo Black, and we're at her home in Brentwood. And the purpose of the interview is to document the United Farm Workers Great Boycott in Pittsburgh, in which Flo was a participant. Also, we'll point out that in terms of the narrator and the interviewer, both of us have known each other for a long time and have been friends. And I do have to begin by asking Flo's consent to tape the interview.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And to begin, I thought it might be good, Flo, if you would just talk a little bit about yourself to give a background to anyone who would be listening to this tape in the future, just a little bit about yourself to sort of lead into those years of the Great Boycott.
Hi, this is Flo Black, and I met Mary at what was then Mount Mercy College, which is now calls itself Carlo, a women's liberal arts college. And while there, I became involved in both the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement. And after I graduated and was married, I came to learn about the farm workers' efforts. Worked on that for a while. After that, I joined the women's movement and was an activist in the National Organization for Women. Did that for a number of years, as well as some other things. Worked on some projects in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. And eventually had to pull back a little bit from movement activities in order to get a job and support myself and my son. But I maintained my interest over the years and am still a member of both the National Organization for Women and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Oh, thank you, Flo. I'm wondering if you might remember how you first got involved in the Great Boycott, any situations or times you might remember the start?
I actually don't remember my first introduction. I remember some of the things that we did, I have a feeling that some of the people that I knew in the civil rights movement also moved along to the farm workers because there was an affinity there on the part of many of those people. And so I think I just heard about it and started doing things like picketing at the Giant Eagle and things like that.
And when I'm thinking that around the time the boycott started, around 1967, what age around 1967 to 1970 would you have been when you first got involved?
I was 21, and I got married in July of 1967, so that would have been right after that.
Okay, and do you remember, or did you feel you had a specific or particular role in the boycott? For example, did you actively picket, make telephone calls, or speak to groups about the boycott?
I think I did all of those things. Okay. I certainly picketed, I certainly made phone calls, and I know I attended meetings. I don't know that I went out into communities by myself, but I went as part of, with teams of people.
Okay, and what affiliation would best describe you in the boycott? Were you part of a student or faculty group, a member of a religious congregation, a union member, or a political activist, and perhaps you might fit in more than one group?
I was probably most likely a political activist. I mean, I was not a member of a union, or I was not a student at that time.
Okay. And I had was wondering about questions about the Rojas family, who were the family that came from California to work on the boycott in Pittsburgh. And I just have a few questions about if you remember what your first impression was of the Rojases, or when you first met them.
They were nice to be with. They very much appreciated what people were doing here. We had them to dinner. We went to their house. We were to their child's christening. I made the bridesmaid dresses for that we had to wear. And I was not that great of a seamstress. It was, you were made to feel part of their family, and you wanted to be. You wanted to be part of it.
Had you met any Mexican-American people before that that you remember, or were was the Rojas family the first experience of meeting Chicanos or Mexican-American family?
We had one Mexican-American family in my school for a brief period when I was in grade school.
No, okay. And you grew up in?
I grew up in Butler County, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so that was, you had experiences before, okay. And you did visit the Rojas home. And in terms of the roles of Albert and Lena, did you, thinking back now, did you have any ideas about what Albert's role was in the boycott, how you felt about his participation in it?
I don't know if I had any thoughts about how I felt about it. He was the spokesperson. He was the leader. He was the one who was more out front about making the decisions and the one that people consulted with.
And Elena had the several small children at the time. So
right.
What was your understanding of her participation in the boycott, and you know how people who were working in it would have seen her in terms of the family and also the community?
Well, she was there to support Albert, and she was also there to provide a place for people to come to meet them. And again, because of the family environment, people felt welcome there. And so it wasn't just a political action. It wasn't just a cause. It was a family. And she made her being there and the children being there made and welcoming people into that family unit made you want to help more.
Okay, that's really good. That's interesting. And in terms of the boycott community, during the time of the boycott, did you get to know any members who were working in the boycott you might not have known before up until this time?
David Horowitz.
Okay.
Probably some other people whose names I can't remember. I'm certain there were other people whose names I can't remember.
What about people that normally you might not have gotten to know better, but if you worked on the boycott for a time, did you feel there were certain people in the community that you did have a better understanding of or worked with after that time?
I'm not sure what you mean.
There in the communities of people you might not have run across, like Dave Horowitz, do you think that that in terms of working on the boycott, that gave you an opportunity to meet people like that better?
Oh, you might not have had that
otherwise. Okay. Did your opinion of any of the groups, and I'll name groups such as students and labor union members, political and religious activists, did your opinion on any of these groups change over the time of the boycott in terms of whether they did change or whether they stayed the same?
Well, because I had been an activist before that, I mean, I don't know that my opinions changed a whole lot. It was just, this was a different type of movement. For one thing, the other ones had not been family-oriented, and the other ones were more global, if you will, as opposed to grapes. I mean, I mean, grapes were a very specific target.
Right.
So when people got together and you could take actions, I mean, it was a different type of movement. I learned about or got to hear about meetings with people like the owners of Giant Eagle, which I would never have had an opportunity to do otherwise. Because again, in the civil rights movement and in the anti-war movement, that was not a focus. Meeting with people from grocery stores was not something that you did too much.
That wasn't part of, it was a different kind of movement. Well, you're still living in the Pittsburgh area, so I'm wondering if you would still think of people that you had worked with at that time as acquaintances of yours now, either people you're still in touch with. So they would still be
in. Sure, Phyllis Weatherby, Molly Rush.
Okay.
Two that come to mind right away.
Okay, so that acquaintanceship and friendship mm-hmm. has still lasted mm-hmm. through these years. And another question about after the grape boycott, there was the lettuce boycott. And at that time, the Valencias and some Anglo organizers came from California. Did you continue your involvement when the second boycott happened, or did you not? You didn't. Okay.
I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what was happening in my life at the time, but I wasn't part of that.
Okay, so that the involvement was mainly during the mm-hmm. first boycott. Okay. One, I have a few questions on the sort of the involvement of the labor movement and things that were oriented in that direction. During the boycott, there were frequent leafletings and some of the money collections that were held at the plant gates at steel mills and other industries. And I think I remember they were generally before dawn, around 5 a.m. Did you go on any of those activities?
No, I did not.
You didn't? Okay.
I don't remember them.
I think that they were happening at certain times just for mainly fundraising, as I remember. Did you work with union people before that in terms of your personal life or other activities before the Great
Boycott? Well, I mean, many members of my family belonged to unions, okay. but I hadn't been involved in organizations with union members.
And your family members were, do you remember, you would probably remember the unions they were in?
Oh, steel workers and... my dad was a member of the Amalgamated Transit Workers.
Okay.
So now part of the which is now the Port Authority.
Oh, okay. Right in this area.
Trolley and bus driver. Many of my uncles were steel workers.
Okay. And do you remember, aside from the steel workers, any names of any unions come to mind who worked in the Great Boycott that you remember yourself?
On the Great Boycott. Probably the I don't know what the name of the union would be, but it would be the grocery workers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. And going from labor, we're talking about some different communities and some of the relationships that each, you know, the people who are being interviewed might have had with them. And another one is a religious community. And I'm wondering if you remember if you had a religious affiliation at that time, if you considered yourself as having a religious affiliation.
I had just left the Catholic Church.
Okay. And in terms of what you knew about people who would be in that congregation or faith, do you think that that particular faith community, in your case, it would be Catholic or any other church in particular, but particularly your own, were they active? Did you consider them active in the boycott?
There were some people who were, certainly. There were some local priests who were involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the rank and file Catholics in the suburbs were particularly interested, but certainly there were some people who were very supportive.
And you probably remember some of the names of the people who were identified with religious communities, and I would include the Quaker activists and nuns, priests and ministers and rabbis. Any names offhand that you remember?
Well, Father O'Malley.
Okay. All right. So people who were, you know, still mm-hmm. still active. Do you have any feelings about whether the religious groups who might have been involved at that time, do you have any feelings about whether you think they would support similar labor activities today if they were called upon to do that? And we're talking in the year 2002 as opposed to 1967?
I really couldn't say.
Okay. So you don't have any particularly feelings about whether they would
I mean, I'm not affiliated directly with any particular religious organization, and I wouldn't want to pretend to speak for them. The members of my family with whom I'm close, who are still Catholic, a couple of them are would be sympathetic, and a couple of them absolutely wouldn't be.
Okay. All right. So in terms of just the personal mm-hmm. judging, okay, thank you. And moving on to some of the, what we might call some of the women's issues, and particularly since you were active in that, around the time of the boycott, I think the women's issues were becoming more prominent in not only activists, but many of the citizens in the consciousness of how they saw the role of women. Were you personally involved in any of the groups that would have been in the forefront of the women's movement at that time?
I was not involved that early. I became most involved about 1971. And I first became involved through politics, which was usual for me, working for a woman running for city council whose name was Joanne Evans Gardner. I worked for her and through her came to know the National Organization for Women. I also worked with a group called the East End Education Committee and a woman named Helen Seeger, and we evaluated the textbooks of the Pittsburgh Public Schools for sexism in the textbooks and went and did a presentation before the school board and had a big write-up in the newspaper. And we were pretty thrilled about the whole thing, although it didn't make a whole lot of difference rather quickly, but I think eventually the whole snowball effect worked. But that was all for me. That was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. And in terms of the boycott community and the people you remember, several books that have been written later have talked about women's role back in those kinds of movement activities, and sometimes women have felt that they weren't treated well. Did you feel in terms of the Great Boycott that was a major issue, or did you not see that in terms of your own work as a community that was a major concern or not too serious a concern or something that you felt people were treated pretty equitably in terms of the supporters?
I wasn't in any way part of any of the decision-making processes. What I wanted to do, I was able to do. So I really can't say whether or not women who wanted to have to make, be more part of the decision-making roles were able to do that. Certainly people like Dolores Huerta, came to the forefront a little later.
Mm-hmm.
Remains an activist and a well-known name in circles like that. But my own sense of the Hispanic culture is that it has been primarily male dominated.
Okay.
And so it would not be out of character for the men to assume more of a leadership role than the women.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move on to one specific conflict that happened during the boycott, and I'm going to describe it as that there was a major civil rights initiative that began in Pittsburgh, as I recall, that was the first city to organize a black construction coalition.
Oh, yeah.
And the movement obviously attempted to integrate the unionized building trades. And aside from being involved in that, during the campaign where thousands of people were demonstrating and mm-hmm. a couple of hundred people were arrested, you do remember this.
I was there.
Okay. That was my other question. Were you personally involved in this campaign? So,
I believe I got pregnant that day.
This is good memory. Well, do you remember that the during those demonstrations, that boycott supporters carried farm worker signs, the symbols that were usually carried for the boycott, that they carried them supporting the black workers, that they mm-hmm. actually went as a group, and you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you personally feel that any the boycott was criticized by any group? Did you feel a little bit sensitive about people thinking that they would be supporting a group that actually had supported the farm workers before, because the unions had supported the farm workers, so they might have taken this as criticism of their stance. It's not something that really bothered
nobody,
you at that time.
I was going to say, nobody gave any criticism to me. I mean, there was a strong sense of unity within the people that were marching, and we did it, three times, four times? I mean...
I think so.
Yeah, I just know there was... The disaster where we ran from the police, and then the ones where we marched across the bridges with police accompaniment.
Okay.
But everyone around me was very upbeat and glad to have everyone participating. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. One other conflict that happened during the visit of Cesar Chavez to Pittsburgh, do you remember when he came, that he had come? At one point he personally came to, mm-hmm. I think it was around October, November, okay. And there were some demonstrations in the produce yards at which someone was identified as a member of the Communist Party, and that person was asked to leave the lines during the demonstrations. Do you recall this mm-hmm. circumstance that happened? Okay. So you didn't have any, I mean, you didn't ever remember that happening at all?
No, I don't.
Early. Okay.
I'm surprised that I don't, but I don't.
Okay, I've just had some questions about that, but I'll just ask you about some of the symbols, because this, I have some questions about the symbolism of the flag and the banners of the Virgin, that the Lady of Guadalupe, that were accompanied boycotters in Pittsburgh and other cities. And I'm wondering if you remember some of the symbols, like the Huelga flag and the banners.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do distinctly remember that symbol. And in terms of the pictures of the Virgin and Our Lady of Guadalupe, that's still popular with Mexican Americans and Mexicans. Were you comfortable with having those images of the people carrying religious images or cultural
sure.
images? That was
yeah.
okay.
You know, we were there to support them.
Okay, so the fact that those were their personal cultural symbols, that was no problem to, let's say, people in Pittsburgh.
No, they were certainly there was no problem to me and to anybody that I knew that was involved. Symbolism is important to a movement, and it's very important to the people who are in the forefront of it and who have the most to lose and the most to gain. Flags, you know, the American flag that the people started flying after September 11th, that was a prime example of all the, of what symbolism can do for the psyche of the people who are involved. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's no, that's interesting, because that was a big part, and I'm wondering if you think that might have made a change in terms of some organizations such as unions. This may have been one of the times when that was used to a large extent. So you think that may have had the reverse effect of maybe affecting the unions and other people who supported the farm workers in terms of their identity and seeing them as having their own cultural symbols? That may have been, you think that may have been new to some of the people in our community?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to impute motives to union workers, except to the extent that, you know, some members of unions are well known for their the whole thing about Buy American, mm-hmm. you know, Americans first, and so that could have influenced the fact that this was a Mexican American movement, mm-hmm. And these were symbols from another culture, mm-hmm. could have been a roadblock
okay.
at times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now considering that culture was a little different from the Pittsburgh mm-hmm. culture. Okay, thank you. In terms of looking back now, obviously many years later, maybe thinking about lessons learned or things you might reflect upon now, would you, in looking back on that experience, would you say that it was a good experience working on the Great Boycott for you personally?
Yes.
Okay. And did you feel that you actually helped the farm workers in working on the Pittsburgh boycott?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think every person that takes an active role in that kind of organization helps. Because if people don't come out and volunteer, mm-hmm. the organizations won't survive.
Okay, thanks. So that you'd say that's something you'd be doing through your life with other movements, that would be the
oh,
same
yeah.
philosophy in terms of everything. Okay. Do you have, as the last question, just in reflecting, do you have a favorite story from the boycott or anything that sticks in your mind after all these years as either
well,
an enjoyable or fun experience?
Well,
or
let's
so
see.
Fun?
There's the the pale green dress, satin dresses that I made, the bridesmaid dresses, and working with, I was not a seamstress, and working with satin is never fun, but we managed to do it, and we all managed to wear them, and made the bride and her family extremely happy. And then there's the christening, where we were over at the house, and I took a bite of some food, I don't know what it was, but I went running to the kitchen for water because I had taken a just, you know, a normal bite. I didn't know that it was extremely hot with jalapeno seasoning. So I went running to the kitchen for water. And probably not quite as funny, but you know, another personal memory is Albert came to our house for breakfast one day, and I had made this elaborate frittata sort of thing, you know, just I really spent some time making it really nice, and he poured ketchup on it, and I was so frustrated because I had put all these flavorings and everything in it, you know, and smothered it in ketchup. But everybody eats, you know, has their own preferences, so
crossing of the cultures. So.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Flo, for sharing the experiences before and, you know, remembering. And I'm going to bring this interview to a close in Brentwood on Thursday evening, April the 4th, 2002.